39:30-40. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was listening and teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of God is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum, where he was in the house. He asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who among them was greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." "Teacher," said John, "we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said. "No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next minute say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us."
Connie asked us a very important question. Are we willing to be pruned during Lent? And I thought that's a very significant question in light of the fact that she mentioned bringing forth fruit. You know, a prune is not an original fruit. If we don't allow God to prune us, we will only produce prunes, dried up plums. So it's either be a prune or be pruned. It doesn't just happen. We have to be willing. We're talking about allowing God to search our hearts, and Connie reflected on that. And two Sundays ago, we began this series on subjects of Lent, and I would like to just reflect on the previous Sundays for a moment and the content of those messages. And basically what we dealt with in the two former messages were guidelines for daily preparation of soul, mind, and body to experience Lent. It doesn't just happen. God is attempting to search our hearts. We want God to change us. We want to experience God more. But what do we have to do? And we began with that great experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. And I was thinking about that this morning as we discussed enjoying God in nature. But if it stops there, we only become worshipers of a nature God. And we go far beyond that, where we worship the creator of nature. We experience the creator of nature, and we exalt him, as the disciples did on the Mount of Transfiguration, where they saw this majestic Jesus, whose brightness was as bright as the sun. This majestic Jesus goes beyond all of nature. And what Lent is intended for is for us to capture a new dimension of his presence and his greatness. And last Sunday we dealt with three dynamics as we attempt to keep striving to get close to Christ. And that is, we deal with unbelief, prayer and fasting, all of these have to be dealt with so that we can consistently enjoy the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, as we progress from that into a further portion of John chapter 9, we deal today with another important subject, and that is the subject of being last. And as Jesus begins this discourse, he again reminds the disciples of what is about to happen, that he must die. He must die. They don't catch on. They have other things in mind. He's trying to tell them that it is of utmost importance that he suffers and dies, and for us to experience Lent as Christ would have us experience it, we must hold up the reality that Jesus had to die. This is all about identifying, doing some suffering ourselves, fasting and praying, sacrificing, that we might identify with our Lord who had to suffer and die for our sins. We can't underestimate the importance of Jesus' death and suffering for us, or we miss the whole point. The second foundational principle that I'd like to lay as we go into this message this morning is the importance of comprehending the truth about Jesus. Here's where the disciples were missing it. And we deal with those interesting scriptures that tell us that these things were hidden from them, and always leaves us with a question: did they have the ability to comprehend, or was there something supernatural going on that hid them? And I don't want to debate that. I would just like to say that many times we would like to use excuses for not being able to understand, when I believe if we are willing to fast and pray and seek the face of God, do without some things that we enjoy, that we might come close to Him, there is a new dimension of revelation comes to us of this glorious Jesus and what He has called us to, lives of sacrifice. Going back to the 8th chapter, he began this discourse talking about if any man is going to come after him, he must do what? Do you recall what he keeps saying all the time, which comes out of the teaching of Christ? You must do what? Deny yourself. Deny yourself. And I ask you point blank this morning, have you denied yourself anything this past week so that you might be able to grasp something new? Our lives are so full. There is a perimeter of activity around our activity. We can only do so much. Our minds are full. We can only absorb so much. And unless we take something away and replace it with something better, we gain nothing. Instead, what Satan tries to make us think is that we can always take in more and continue being like we always were and just enhance our lives. No, I've learned that you have to start giving up to get. Denying good things, we might gain something of value. And fasting is a simple principle of that. So we comprehend, we struggle to comprehend what Jesus is saying, what Jesus is speaking to us now, what he is saying to us through his word. And that means I have to deny myself of things I like to read and watch and so on, and read the word more and study the word more. So if I'm going to comprehend more, I have to go to the source of it. I have to pay more attention to the body of Christ and what they're saying and not be so set on my own understanding, but be willing to learn. And then I have to be listening personally to what God has to say in order to comprehend. But now, as we lay that foundation and move forward a bit, it appears that Jesus may have departed a bit from the presence of the 12 disciples, and as he comes back, he noticed there is an intense discussion. He knows what it's all about, but he asked them what they were talking about. And in one of the Gospels, it does record that they said, well, we're talking about who's going to be the greatest. Now, we must understand that that was very logical for them to be discussing that, because just previously he had personally picked out three of them and taking them up on the mountain where they had a great personal experience that nine of them did not have. So one can easily project into that that three of them were more important than the rest of them. And I would be of the opinion that Peter let the other nine know that. And then it came down to the discussion among the three now. We all were there. We all saw him in his glory. We all saw him speaking with Moses and Elijah. But I wonder which one of us he's going to pick to be number two man in the kingdom. They're discussing that. Do you notice how far removed they are mentally from the reality of his death and suffering, of what's going to happen, just like we get so carried away thinking about our calling, our gifts, and what it really means to be an important person in the kingdom, when what we need to do is hear what he has to say in the continuing verses. And he simply says, brothers, this is the way it is. Whoever wants to be first must learn to be last and servant of all. What? Well, he goes on to explain what it means, but I want us to understand something that can confuse us if we're not careful. He is not saying it's wrong to be a first. He was a first. And he didn't say, I'm not going to strive to be what I'm called to be. I would like to say that he is saying, if you understand what God has called you to do, that is important. You must understand that you are important. You must understand that you have to be a first at times. But there's a mindset that goes with it if you're going to be successful. You have to develop the mind of a servant. Oh, what does that mean, Lord? He goes on to explain in the following context that we're relating to this morning, two very important areas of understanding. You must understand how children behave and think to be a servant. And you have to stop judging those that follow me and are not doing it the same way you do it. Two very important things. Now, we could deal with the subject of servanthood and go all over the place for that. I would just like to reflect on that very briefly. Personally, usually if you would ask me what I would give up for Lent, I would probably say sweet potatoes. Most of you know I don't like them, so they're not hard to give up. But this year the Lord has allowed me a real privilege of, rather than giving up, of being a servant. And understanding something that I never would have understood. And I can best express it with this statement I said to Jane yesterday as I put away the vacuum cleaners. I said, I want to thank you for doing this week after week after week all these years, where I never realized how much time it takes, I mean, I'm just thinking about it every week. Dust, wipe this off, and vacuum. Every meal. Now, I always thought I was a good husband. I helped out. I've done vacuuming. But not every time. I've been doing it every week since the beginning of February. For a period of time, I did the dishes, even though we have a dishwasher, and cleaned up the kitchen. And for every meal. And I realized that while I was looked at as a first out there in my call, preaching the gospel, my sweet wife has been a servant, quietly serving without complaint, doing that. That's servanthood. And brothers, if you want to know what real servanthood is, just volunteer to be one. Clean the house, do the dishes. I don't know what to say to the wives more than this. If you want to know what it's like to be a servant, let them do it and don't fuss. Oh, yeah. Are we willing? I'll ask the question again. Are we willing to be pruned? Yes. Hey, we're talking about length. We're talking about identifying with the realities of living here on earth as Jesus lived, and in so doing, fulfilling our calling where God has called us to be a first. You understand? And it's real easy for men to understand that first are not husbands to be the head. Right? And he says, if you want to succeed as the head, be a servant as you live with everybody else. Learn the attitude of a servant. Well, I'd love to go on with that the rest of the day, but especially since I have to do it. But I think we should go on with what Jesus did. Jesus then picks up a child. And you see him picks up a little child, he states, in his arms. And in the context of Scripture that all three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, record, you find a total of two different expressions about that child. Mark expresses it this way. Jesus says, you want to be a servant. One of the things you have to, you want to be a first. You want to be somebody important. You have to realize that little children are very important. Mark is getting that idea across. Jesus is saying that. Little children are very important. Don't ever ignore them. Goes on in the context beyond what we're dealing with today to say if you offend one of them, you would be better off drowned. That's how important little children are. They may look insignificant to you as an adult, but they are the future generation. Furthermore, we shared in a Sunday school lesson recently that, and Connie referred to it this morning, Psalm 8, out of the mouths of the nursing infants, God receives strength and praise. That's how important they are. And Jesus says, all right, you and your callings and position, don't limit it to adults only. Pay much attention to children. Now, the other thing he brings out about the children is, unless you become, in your understanding about me and about God, unless you become like that as a child, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't have this self-sufficient, know-it-all, first kind of adult mentality and make it with me. Oh no. Jesus levels us all off and says, down with that adult, self-sufficient mentality. The most important people that are working with me are going to be ones who, like a child, trust me. Trust me with the unknown like a child does. Risk takers like a child is. They take risks. Adventurous like a child is. Never settling and being complacent. Never seeing a boundary, but always pushing a boundary. That's my kind of people. And making a fool out of themselves in trying. Like a child. Not afraid to do something that might embarrass others. Because they think this is important. And they think they can do it. He says, all right. If I tell you you can do it, you can do it. If it embarrasses you in the face of others, let it be. Be like a child. Be humble. Be like a child and have fun living for me. Don't get so intense about being a first. My son and I were discussing a pastor we know just last night, and I said, if ever there was a man that I've seen who knows what it's like to be a last, he never thinks about being the first, and all that he accomplishes is that man. Many of you know him. I know a lot about him. I've seen him take the back seat, pick up the role, let others take credit for him, be pushed around, and yet he has accomplished much, in my opinion, simply because he simply trusts the Lord and accepts his position. When God calls him to be a first, he'll be a first, and when he's pushed back to the last, he accepts that. It doesn't matter. He's living for Jesus. Now, it seems like it's a different subject. The disciples, maybe they were getting nervous about this conversation about becoming like children, so they want to change the subject. And they said, Lord, we saw somebody casting out devils in your name, and we asked them to come follow you. They wouldn't do it. I want you to note that Jesus did not say they shouldn't have come. He just leaves that alone. Perhaps he knew that one day they would come close, or maybe what was designed for them to do demanded that they be out there somewhere else. But he gives a very strong word about having a last mentality here. It flows right along with what we just stated about being a child, right here in this context of dealing realistically with all those professing Christians that are, some of them, doing things that we could not conscientiously do. Some of them so far off the wall in what they do that it's hard for us to perceive that they're doing anything. Jesus says, stop thinking that your way, and please, we're talking about people in this whole realm that profess Jesus as Lord. We're talking about people that see him as Savior. We're not going beyond that realm. So let me come back to what I was about to say this. Stop thinking that your way is the only way to worship me. They're worshiping me. How about being the last and realize that I am receiving glory from them as well? Maybe even a little more than I am from you. There isn't just one way to worship me as long as it's me. You follow what I'm saying. There isn't only one way to worship me. Now, it must all be done in spirit and in truth, but the expressions can vary. Amen? sure. Oh, I used to think I was getting it onto it, how to really move God. Now, I remember holding a revival in a Church of the Brethren, and we had good meetings. They started on a Wednesday evening, and Sunday morning I came, and there was an altogether different crowd. That happens. You have a revival, there's a revival crowd, and then Sunday morning, you see the church crowd. Now, most of the people that were there in the evening were there Sunday morning, but a whole lot more that never showed up for the revival. They came to have church on Sunday morning. They claimed they had no one that was qualified to play the organ for them, so they hired, this was their practice, they hired every Sunday a Jewish lady, Jewish, not Christian, to play the organ. They were so traditional in that service Sunday morning, so different than we had been all week. I said to myself, can't expect God to do much in this service. The song leader even walked up front to lead the invitation hymn. Who's going to come forward? Now you have him up there traditionally leading the invitation hymn. And a Jewish lady playing the organ, how is God going to do that? I'll tell you something. I hope this don't rattle you too much. Several people came to the altar, and whatever was going on, only God knew, when they reached this point, I was back there, I wasn't telling you, they would fall over. God just wanted to show Jim that he can do anything. He wants to, wherever he wants to, how he wants to. One fellow fell backwards, he was hit right there in the face, he cracked. He rolled over the floor, a nurse jumped up out of the audience, came up to minister to him, thought he was dying. After a while, he come out of it. I asked him after the service how his head was. His mind is going right. I said, you know what happened to you? Yeah, I said, the Spirit knocked me over. So all he knew was a hermit. All I'm saying this morning, friends, God is sovereign. Don't ever, Jesus is trying to get this point across, don't because of your different way, your different upbringing, or what you're comfortable with. That's okay, do it that way, but do it for the glory of God. But be careful how you judge others, because there is a vast realm of His work going on far beyond what we understand around the world, in various places, various ways, people honoring Him, uplifting Him in their way, in their understanding. Let it happen. And if they're wrong and they're following Him, He'll bring it together. When we all get to heaven, what a day that will be. Morning. I love that song this morning. Enjoyed all that singing. Yes, learn to be a last. Let others get the recognition, be the first. And the more you let them be last, the more God will open the doors for you to humbly use your gift. And He'll get the glory. It's all about what He says it's all about. That's denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Him. Last and letting go together.